Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Amen, amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Welcome to our Zion Live. Praise God. Somebody here today and know that God has something great today for us all. Let's go and go into prayer. We're going to do a quick worship before we get into the Word of God. Gracious and Heavenly Father, God, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for your presence. We thank you, Father, for what you are doing. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity to come here and to worship God. So here we are to worship you. Here we are to worship and adore you. Here we are, God, to give our hearts over to you once again that you may fill us up. Fill us, God, with your love. Fill us with your peace, God. Fill us with your joy. Fill us with your grace, God, and your mercy. So, Father God, we thank you, Father, for all that you are doing right now. And, Father God, we thank you that, God, we are in a position. We are in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing. Father, we could be doing anything else, but God, you said in your word that it's good for us to dwell together. It's good for us to fellowship together. It's good for us to come into the house of the Lord and to give honor and glory to you. We take the time out today to give you praise. We take the time out today to magnify you. We take the time out today to worship and adore you. Yes, God, because you're worthy. You're worthy of all praise. You're worthy of all honor. You're worthy to be magnified and to be adored. And God, we want to adore you today. So, Father, we ask that you take this praise, take this worship. Let it be a manifestation of what you have already called us and purposed us to be and to do. That God will walk in our God-ordained assignment because we were created. We're created to pay bills, although we have to. We're created to work a 9-to-5 job, although we have to. We weren't created, God, just to go through all these different trials and tribulations. But we have to. But Father, we have been created to worship you. Oh God, we have been created, God, to worship and adore you. It is great your love and his mercy. God, we have been created, Father, to let them know, to let the devil know, to step back because you have all power, you all have authority, and you are still on the throne. And as we belong to you, we have been created as a billboard for your glory and your honor. God, polish us, shine us up, fix us, restore us. Once again, Father, we go straight, pull us back to where we need to be. Yes, God, come on now. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Father, we come against every demonic attack that tries to hinder and destroy us. We come against every vain imagination. We come against every foul spirit. We come against this foul spirit that even tries to wreck our lives. Securities in our days. We come against it now. Father, we know that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. And for that, God, we give you praise. And we give you glory. And we give you honor. Come on, lift your hands up.
Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, at your feet, He said, we praise the Lord. To Pastor Bill, he's not here. And go Pastor Bill, some of these people.
Bless your name, God. Yes, 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 yes. Father God, we thank you. We glorify you and we magnify your name. Lord, we know that you are our champion. You are our all in all. You are our fighter. You are our defender. And Father, for that we glorify you. We magnify your name here on the earth. And God, as we begin to continue in our hearts to worship you, we will not forget the fact that you are victorious. You are the mighty champion. You are the everlasting God. You are the Prince of Peace. You are all that we could ever ask or think. And Father, today we just honor and adore you. So God, as we begin to come into this place where we are desiring to hear your word, I pray, Father, that God, that our hearts be open for what you have, God. I pray, Father, that our hearts be open for what you desire to be imparted into your people. So, Father, God, I ask right now that I decrease and, God, that you may increase. I pray, Father, that, God, even in the midst of everything that we may go through, God, that this word will be the shifting and be the changing, will be the force that we need, will be that tool that we need, will be the equipment, will be the push that we need to walk into what you have ordained. So I come against every demonic attack. Come against every mind-blinding, mind-manipulating, depressive spirit that tries to hinder your people. It has no right and it has no authority. And Father God, we stand in our spiritual authority and we decree and declare that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We decree and declare, Father, that we are a blessing going somewhere to be a blessing to others. But Father, we declare that we have been healed. We have been delivered, but praise and thanks be unto God, we are restored. So we shall walk in restoration and begin to cause a revival of a restoring your people by the word and by the love of God today. Come on and give God praise. Amen. 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 So grateful to be here today, so grateful to be here this morning. I know that many of you could have been anywhere, but I'm so glad that you are right here with us today. Amen. 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 Did you guys enjoy the worship? Praise God. You know, worship is not always what we may fathom it out to be. It may not always be what you may intend it, but sometimes you just got to get your place and allow an opportunity of time to allow your spirit to, you know, to do what your spirit always desired to do, and that's worship God. You know, sometimes you can get lost in his presence. Sometimes you can get lost in worshiping him. You know, that when that song hits you just right, or when that lyric or that note or whatever it is, and it begins to pull on the heartstrings of your soul, sometimes you just want to stay there forever. Because it doesn't matter how long you stay in worship. It doesn't matter how long you stay in a place where you are giving God praise and honor and glory. Matter of fact, he deserves it. We owe him. We're a matter of fact, we got a deficit with God.
Yeah.
Amen. We have a debt. We got a bill that we have to pay. Like David said, if I had 10,000 tongues, I could not even praise you enough.
Yes.
So it's always good to give God praise. And no matter how you worship him, no matter how you praise him, no matter whatever you do, as long as you do it with a sincere heart, and you do it in spirit and in truth. Amen.
Amen.
I believe that God has a word for us today, and I believe that it's something that is going to probably shift you. It's going to be something that's going to challenge you. Might be something that you've heard before over and over again, but nevertheless, you never heard it like this today, in this way. So I believe that God is doing something very specific in our lives. He always is up to a plan. He always has a purpose in mind. And we have to understand, we have to remember that the things that we experience in life, the things that we encounter, or the people that we encounter, are always in line with God's plan. Now, you may wish that certain things would have never happened in your life that could have happened, but if it was not for that particular point, that particular moment, you would not be who you are today. You would not have the ability, you would not have the stamina, you would not have the thought, you would not have the process, you would not have the irritation, you would not have the frustration to basically go beyond whatever it is that God has put before you to make it to the place where he desires for you to be. Thus, in point, is where we are today. It's very important that we understand what actually is happening in this world. We can't take things so loosely. We have to really look in a certain type of lens. Now, the lens that we may look through or need to look through right now, it may have taken us a long period of time to get to that point, but we have to make sure that we always, once we know better, we do better. Once we see better, we understand better. Once we begin to experience something that is outside of our actual norm and we see that it actually works, then we can't accept nothing less but that very thing. So if you would, just turn your Bibles with me to something that we have actually talked about. I'm actually going to go into Mark, the 4th chapter, the 35th through the 41st verse. Mark, the 4th chapter, 35 through 41 is going to be the verses. Mark 4, 35 and 41. I'm just going to let God do whatever he desires to do and how he say it, however he desires to say it. Because I've understood something in my life is that I cannot force anything that God does. I cannot, want something to be a certain way because of a comfort zone that I'm trying to keep. Yeah, I might catch that later. Let me catch that. Mark 4, 35 through 41, and it basically reads, and I'm reading from the King James Version, and it says, "And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there rose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Last week we talked about basically getting into a mindset of operating or living or praising or praying or believing from a place of victory. And I gave the example of the science project where we talked about how, we put the little seeds in an unlikable environment, that seems to be something that just wouldn't come to pass based on the conditions and the circumstances. But understanding the fact that when God has created something, hear me clearly, when he has created something, he's already, and I'm learning this I'm learning this thing. When he creates something, he also knows how to sustain something. Meaning that when God thought about it back in Genesis, when he began to fathom all the facets of how he should strategically set up everything in our lives, he already knew that certain things were going to happen in our lives that we may think would be to wipe us out. But I realized that it wasn't necessarily to wipe us out, but it was the very thing that he has created, he also presents something to us that would allow us to understand that he's also sustaining us. Sometimes we may come into different situations, different circumstances, and it may seem to wipe us out. It may seem to be so overwhelming. It may seem to be so great, so huge, so big. And we may get caught up in our feelings. We may get caught up in the circumstances, and we feel that there is no likable ease or no likable return. Such as though the disciples or the people that were in the boat basically saw this great thing. You got to understand that they're sitting in a boat that may not be as big as our cruise ships that we go on. But they are faced with a great adversity. They're faced with a great storm, something that's actually designed to overtake them. Because as the Bible says, that the water was coming into the boat constantly. It was nothing that the boat could do to stop the water from coming. It was a storm. It was something that was chaotic. It was something that was fearful. It was something that created itself. If you ever look on TV, like I always look on TV, and you begin to see way deep out in the oceans, that those storms, those waves, they get at least about 40 or 50 feet high. They begin to roll. It's almost as though it's bigger than a skyscraper, and it begins to roll and overtake whatever it is riding on. This was that storm. This was the storm where you knew that you would not make it out of it. This was the storm that they knew that, okay, it's either now or never. This was the storm that made them question who they are. And this was the storm that made them fearful. This was the storm that challenged them. This was the storm that they knew that there would be no end. This storm is going to overtake us. It is bigger than us. This is the storm that caused them to fear. This is the storm that caused them to worry. This is the storm that caused them to cry. This is the storm that caused them to be afraid. This is the storm that caused them to go outside of their comfort zone. This is the storm that pushed them to a place where they understood that there was nothing that they could do with inside of their own means. They could be experienced. This was the storm that challenged their experience. They could be skilled. This was the storm that challenged their skill. They could be lucky. This was the storm that challenged their luck. They could have been productive. This was the storm that challenged the productivity. But I want you to understand this very one thing. A storm doesn't always have to be something that is equipped with water, winds, and rain. A storm can sometimes be a flood of emotions. Sometimes a storm can be a chaotic situation. Sometimes a storm can be an overcoming or an overwhelming place of emotion inside of yourself that it seems so hard for you to bear, that it challenges everything in your life, everything that you knew to be true, everything that you desire, everything that you hope, everything that you dream. As a matter of fact, even challenge your faith. This was the storm that challenged their faith. This was that thing that made them realize that there was something greater than anything that they could ever do. This was something greater than any place that they could ever go. This was greater than any thing that they have ever learned in school, learned from their father, learned from their mothers. This was that storm. But like I said before, that the very thing that God creates, he also sustains. If we put the two pieces together, we have to understand that the disciples are traveling in a place where they're going to a place where God has ordained them to go. This is to be very careful. They got the instructions where they were supposed to travel to the other side of this particular journey. Christ was the one that told them to say, hey, let's launch out and go to this particular place. And even though Christ had spoken a word to them and gave them specific directions and gave them specific instructions, It seems as though if you think that Christ would have said it, then he would basically take the road or take the path that would be more likely for them to get to the destination that they have been commissioned to go. You know, in our minds, it's almost like when we look at the Google Maps and we begin to plot our destination to where we want to go. We want to get to the crab restaurant. We want to get to the seafood restaurant. And so that Google Map will dictate and determine which is the best route, the safest route to go. It will basically apply it where it will say, you have 5 minutes to get to your destination. You may arrive at your destination at 11:45. And then it will begin to reroute when there is an accident on the path to where you are, where you would be taken completely outside of your track. And even though it may take a little longer to get to that destination, it's basically designed to give you the road that is an easily traveled road. It gives you the road that may be quicker to get to that destination. It gives you the road that may not have as much traffic, or the bridge may not be out, or whatever the case may be. It gives you the particular instructions to get to the place so you can get there safe. Well, how come God don't do that? How come God doesn't let us know, say, hey, danger ahead, go to the left, go to the right? Now, I say that because sometimes he does that. Sometimes he will give us direction, he will give us instruction, and he will give us this little something in our spirit to tell us, hey, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. And it's up to us to listen. But I'm not talking about that particular time. I'm talking about this time right now where you have been commissioned to go on a destination, and the only way is through. What do you do then? Why would God put them in the midst of a storm? Why would God put them in the midst of adversity? Why would God put them in the midst of difficulty? Why would God make the road that they have been promised to go to such a struggle? See, if we knew what was on the other side, we will understand what we are in right now. I'm going to say that again because I felt that thing in my spirit. If we understood or knew what was on the other side, it would make sense. It would give us understanding. It would give us the ability. It would give us the wisdom. It would give us the insight on what we are going through right now. You see, the disciples were going through this storm, but if you were to read the next chapter, you will understand that they are going to a place where they're going to be encountered with something that is going to challenge their anointing. Y'all better hear me clear. They're going to be challenged with something that is going to test them, is going to train them, is going to teach them. And right now, in the midst of their adversity, they're being trained right then. So they have this big storm, and it caused the boat to turn probably upside down almost. Y'all seen it in the movies where that boat be looking just like this. The way you see it, the boat was like this. And you in the boat. There's no life jackets, there's no restraints, there's no helicopters, there's no ropes. This is not a movie, this is real life. And so, I'm sure after they've done all they could, trapped down the sails, threw off everything that was, so that they even got the ship like they even got it. Did all that stuff. They figured out that, okay, we are not going to make it. This, it ain't going to look good for us. And they begin to, they begin to go down and they begin to speak to the master. I want you to understand how cool this is to me. The master is not worried about the storm. The master is still in the ship. See, you gotta understand. See, if I can almost see why he would be calm if he wasn't in the ship. But he is calm in the ship. And I'm saying ship, S-H-I-P. Y'all put in whatever you want to, how real it is to you. He is called in the adversity. He is called in the circumstance. He is called in the situation. He is called with the trial. He is called with the challenge. He is called in the storm. Matter of fact, he's sleeping. And so they run to him and they said, "Master, Master, don't you care that we about to get tore up? You are here. Don't you care about yourself? Matter of fact, care about us. We about to get tore up with this storm." And the interesting thing that I like about the scripture is the fact that Christ, and I'm almost really about to close, Christ didn't even acknowledge them. Christ didn't even acknowledge or didn't answer their questions. Christ didn't even give them the time of day and make the explanation of what he's doing and why he's doing. He just operated in what he already knew to be true. He operated into the sustainment and the sustainment principle that God has already ordained for his life. That sustainment principle, that thing that he has already set for him, is the fact that he has the authority to speak to the storm. And today, I want you to take that same mindset for yourself and to begin to understand is that sometimes, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, no matter whatever happens in your life, you have the God-given authority to speak to your storm. Matter of fact, we don't speak to our storms often enough. We allow our trials and our tribulations and our situations to overtake us and to try to batter us down. And we get frustrated, we get irritated. And matter of fact, we get outside of what we say that we believe, which is our faith. But Christ reminds us and says, "Oh, ye of little faith." Where is your faith, matter of fact? If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, that's all he requires, faith the size of a mustard seed, then you can move mountains. Sometimes we don't pull on the faith that we have. Sometimes we don't use the faith that God has already given to us. And the crazy part about it is he gives every man a measure of faith. Do we actually use that measure of faith that he has given us? Do we use it to the fullest of ability? If anything else, in this whole life, in this whole world, everything that we've experienced, we should be using this measure of faith to the utmost, especially when we just came through a pandemic. We've gone through things that were questionable. We've gone through losing jobs and losing loved ones quickly. I mean, we were losing loved ones quicker than the Endgame. The Avengers movie they did was just like disappearing in the Endgame movie. It was just like dust. That's how we was losing people left and right. And some of us gave up on our faith. Some of us, that's all we had to hold on to. But there are times, and we're coming into a time now, I believe that God is showing us that what you have inside of you is the very thing that you need to sustain you. This very faith that you have that's working inside of you is the very faith that you have to use to go and get the certain things that I've already ordained for you to be. See, when Christ begins to talk to me, he says, "Oh, give a little faith." Where is your faith? Why you just didn't speak to it? Because you have the authority. I'm right here with you. And when I begin to think about that whole concept of how he basically allowed this to happen, I believe that it was one of the most prominent teaching lessons for many of us today, as it was for them then. You see, I believe that when God does something or when God begins to show us something, it has already been written in the Word. And if you were to look at it from this standpoint, you have to understand this very principle of this. Is that at the beginning in Genesis, when God created the heavens and the earth, we understood in Genesis that he is the author and the finisher and the creator of all things. And being that he is the author, the creator, and the finisher of all things, we understand that we are a part of that particular creation. However, as being a part of that particular creation, God had designed it specifically, uniquely, strategically, that we will begin to have a piece of him inside of us. Meaning, we have a piece of the Creator operating, living, and moving inside of us. When you have a piece of the Creator operating and moving and living inside of us, the very thing that the Creator can do, He gives you the ability to do so as well. Because of the fact He puts Himself inside of you. Christ is trying to let them know that if you believe as you say you believe, then you have the same power to do the same thing that I have done. Matter of fact, you should have actually even just try. And that's the thought that God got me. What if they had just even said, okay, I'm going to try to see if I can calm this storm. What if they would have just tried before they even woke Jesus up? What if they said, storm, be still. You know, something I believe would have happened. You know how I know? Because when Peter saw Christ walking on the water, he said, bid me to come. He didn't think about that he was going to sink until he started sinking. He said, bid me to come, and he said, come. And he began to walk actually on water. What am I saying? Is that all we have to do sometimes is really just reach out and just try. We may even see God do something supernatural just because we are walking out in that small sliver of faith. What if it don't work? That's the problem. What if it does? What if I step out and I go out into this river and I'm going to be embarrassed because I'm going to say, storm be still. Storm be still. And nothing happens. Well, it doesn't come against you at all. And I'm going to tell you why. Because anytime that we step out on faith, God, bless me, anytime I'm learning in my life, anytime that you step out on faith, God is now obligated to honor that which He has told you to do. He said, the faith the size of the mustard seed can move my mountains. But we never use that little bit of the mustard seed to challenge God to move the mountain. We want Him just to move it. Take it out of the way. And here's the thought process that I want you to understand. Sometimes you allow the mountain to stand there and not move so that you can exercise the faith that you don't use. Sometimes, I have it in my life, sometimes people let circumstances stay right there before you. And you're going to the preacher, and you know, yeah, you could. You go to the pastor, you go to this, and we spend more time worrying about the waves coming into the boat. We spend more time worrying about what can come or what can happen. We spend more time worrying about, you know, I'm getting wet and I could potentially drown. At that point, when those things start to happen, you have nothing else to lose. You are threatened that your job is about to be lost. Right? I'm sorry. You kind of did, this happened, and you're going to be out of a job. So we were so stuck and focused on losing the job that we forget about using the faith. Okay, I'm going to lose the job. Well, I have the faith that no matter what happens in my life, no matter what comes my way, me and my kids are going to be good. Because I am a child of God. And in His word, He says that He will always provide all of my needs according to His riches and glory. So either I'm going to keep this job and I command this job to stay still, that I will not lose my job, and or I command something better to come my way. You ain't got nothing to lose now. You have nothing that's going to embarrass you because you're at the point of nothing. He didn't remove the struggle. You ended up losing the job. Now you've got to walk in faith and say, okay, God, there's something that's going to come in. Put a deadline on that thing. I decree and I declare that I'm going to get a job by next week. I'm going to decree and I declare whatever you want to do. Start going back to work. God said, I'm going to say, thank you, faith. Because you know you only have like 2 weeks to go do something. So, okay, God, by May 15th, I'm going to have my job. May 15th, God, I'm going to have my job. Put that thing out there. Use the faith that God has given you because it is the faith that He puts inside of you. Here's the thing. Everything that we're walking in our life right now, what we're doing, what we're believing, even us worshiping, we're doing it by faith. We don't see God, but we know that He's real. We technically don't audibly hear God, but we know that He speaks to us. And so, just because of the fact that we actually stepped out in faith, we actually have evidence, because faith is the substance of things hoped for, it's the evidence of faith not seen. We actually have evidence of God speaking to us in certain situations when it seems strange and it seems abnormal. It's all because we stepped out on faith. We stepped out on faith and said, Lord, I want you to take away my sins. And I believe everything that the Word of God has said. Once we stepped out of faith and did that, God began to take away of our sins. And now we operate in a way where we feel that the burden and the weight and the things that we have been carrying all our lives, those have been dropped up off our spirit right now. And now we're able to walk and to walk in a place where we're unashamed. And we can bask and have joy in the fact that He has redeemed us, He has restored us, He has washed our sins away. And we are there, no doubt, no condemnation. That's faith. We have faith for that. Now we have to have faith to decree and declare things to activate. We have the power. Your kids start acting up in school, or something's coming against your kids in school. By the devil is alive. Faith. Boom. Hit him with that faith. He is going to be good. I speak it in faith. She is going to be good. I speak it in faith. We spoke it in faith about her, and she is good. Use that faith. That's what He's trying to train you on. He's trying to train you. That's why we have the adversity. We have the obstacles. He says, okay, I'm going to put you in a place. I'm going to see what you're going to do. I'm going to put you in the worst circumstance, in the worst situation. I'm going to see how you survive. Because everybody thought that you were going to die. Everybody thought that that's your plan. As a matter of fact, they're betting on you to die. They're betting on you to lose. They're betting on you to mess this thing up. Yeah. Yeah, I got 20 on Pastor Doug. He's gonna jack this whole thing up. I'm serious. I got $10,000. That Pastor Douglas, Sister Twyla, and Gloria Head and Keisha, I got $10,000. I'm betting on this, and they're gonna mess that up. I'm gonna tell you the truth. We did. We tore it all up. And He built it right back together. And got it better than it was before. That which was fighting for is no more now. Because He tore it out. Praise God. And things happen the way that they happen. Because God knew exactly what He had to do. But He had to challenge us to get to a place where we understand that, you know what? This storm does not define me. My faith defines me. Who I believe in, who I am a child of, that's what defines me. And we have to now operate and begin to use this faith in a way like never before. We're about to come into certain situations and circumstances. It's going to be, God, I feel that, okay, here's a prophetic word for each and every one of you, if you want to take it like this. God has brought us through some crazy stuff, right? He's brought us through some crazy stuff. We are still dealing with some crazy stuff. But we have not been wiped out. So that gives me the understanding and belief that there must be something greater that's still coming. Matter of fact, I'm going to prophesy this right now by faith, that greater is still coming. But not only is it still coming, it's already coming now. You are going to see the ramifications of it in your life right now. The very thing that God has said is going to happen in life, you are starting today, May 2nd, is the day that you're starting to see the goodness of God operating in your life. It's already happened. Matter of fact, it happened before you even acknowledged it, before you even recognized it, before you even said, ooh, I didn't know that one. It was already starting before, and God was saying, you know, I'm going to throw this at you, give me that blessing. Put this in the Bible. Throw this in your baby. Now, throw this in your way. It's already started. I don't have people just say, what you at? Where you at? What you doing? What's your Cash App? What's this? What's that? And I don't know what I did or what. It's just God's favor. It's just God's blessing. I said to myself, I said, God, we shall be blessed. Our family shall be blessed. We shall have that which you have promised us to be. There was a time that I didn't think that. There was a time I was so far up in the storm that I couldn't even see my way past it. And sometimes you gotta fake your way out. Sometimes when things shift you so far and so much, you don't even know which way to turn. You don't know if you're pointing to the left, to the right, north, south, east, or west. And if, when you don't know that, when you don't know which your direction is, I challenge you to look up. Just look up in faith. Hold them hands up and say, God, I thank you. Just thank you. Even if it's messed up and jacked up, say, God, I thank you. Praise him in the storm. And also speak to that storm and command that thing to shift around.
Yes.
See, Christ spoke to that storm. He said, peace, be still. Peace, be still. Now, I'll tell you something. You didn't completely destroy or eradicate it. Because there's going to be a time when you're going to need the storm to come in your life again. Sometimes you need those storms to come. Because a storm sometimes allows you the opportunity without any excuse to start all over again. I mean, to start from square one. All over again. You know, me and my wife was talking about churches and everything like that, right? And here's the thing, that what has happened really, and it's not no deep revelation, it's not no deep thing, it's not no deep nothing. We just talked about it back and forth. And I think I said it or she said it, one of us said it. But this pandemic has leveled the churches. It has leveled the churches. It has leveled. And you have to make sure that if you are truly a church or a ministry that is called by God and operating by the way of the Holy Spirit and operating, you know, true and right. There are many churches out there that are operating in the right way. They're still standing. Now, people want to say, well, you don't know the process and blah, 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 blah. All I can say is, if it be of God, it's going to stand. That's all I can say. But that's the truth. If it be of God, it's going to stand. No matter what it was, maybe it might not have been the right time. Maybe it might have been the right area. Maybe it may not have been the right season for that particular ministry. I don't know. I'm glad they did it. But I don't know the plan of what God has. All I know is, if it be of God, it's going to stand. That's it. Not saying that, oh yeah, we are God's sweet. I'm not even going that anymore. Right. There's been many times I don't shut this all down. I'm serious. I just shut it down. Just forget it. Just give it whatever. And just, okay, y'all had it. Forget. But that's not what he had called us to be and do. It's not even about me. It's not even about my feelings. It's that thing where by faith you come even when nobody else comes. It's by faith when you do when nobody else does. When you believe when nobody else believes. Because you're not believing for them, you're not basing it for them, you're basing it for those that haven't found you yet. And if you're not in a position to do it, then you're going to miss the whole thing. If Christ did not stop the storm, on the other side, you read it, I think, in Mark 5, there was a man that had about a whole bunch of demons. Legion. Man, with a whole bunch of demons met them as soon as they got to the shore. And it was really all because of the deliverance of that man. Sometimes we go through things and he challenges us, he encourages us, he gives us the tools, he is training us to make sure that we operate in this level of faith, this level of faith. I'm not talking about being a prophet, you know, using your prophetic gifted, the five steps of this, and the four steps of that, and the three steps of turnaround, and pressing, finding your echelon, and your mantralon, and your mantra, and knowing your assignment, and knowing your giftings, and knowing your mantle. And I'm not talking about all that stuff. I'm talking about just using that simple faith just to get you to where you need to go. in spite of the adversity, in spite of the circumstances, but believe in God that I'm going to be all right, and I'm going to give you this. This storm is not going to overtake you. Matter of fact, I hush you right now in the name of Jesus. You have no power. You have no authority. I cancel every voice that this storm is trying to speak in my life. I'm not even going to listen. I'm going to listen to the word and the power of God that says that it's going to be all right. I'm going to speak and give faith and give praise to the one that creates the storm. That's who I praise. Matter of fact, that's who's inside of me, is the creator of the storm. Like they say, oh, you know, whoever said it, you're a bad chick, whatever. Oh, be careful of somebody that I am the storm. Yeah. And technically, you are. You are the very essence of the one that creates it. You have the ability inside of you to cause chaos in a messed up situation and bring it back into the purpose and the will of God in your life. Your house will be jacked up. I'm talking about Jack, where everybody that's there is jacked up. But when you come, everything has to fall in order. And if it don't want to fall in order, then okay, you out, you out, you out. And you bought order to your home. That's it. And then now you command everything else that comes into your surrounding. Okay, if you want to bribe, you got to, no, we ain't doing this. And here's the thing, it's interesting because sometimes I have this friend of mine that I actually met lunch with him the other day. And it made me think about something. Some people know that I'm a pastor, people don't, right? But the ones that know, when I'm, say, for example, I may come to a particular event or come somewhere, we may sit down and do whatever we do that work. And they'll come to my surroundings and they automatically adjust. I don't ask them to adjust. I don't even, put a sign on nothing that says, okay, hey, if you come, just do this. They just do it automatically. Now, I take it as a level of respect. And also, I really do not, now I'm the one that says, be yourself. I set the atmosphere. Be yourself, because all people to be themselves. So, my friend, when he first met me, he's a cusser. He's a cusser. But he said it. But, you go to church. I don't think that makes sense. So, it was interesting because before he knew who I was, he was wild, right? Wild. And thought that, I would, back forth. And I didn't offend. Sometimes I like to hear it because it made me laugh. It do. I ain't gonna lie. It just made me laugh. I'm sorry. It made me laugh. I'm sorry. Being people cousins made me laugh. I'm sorry. It just do. Especially when they became cousins. It just anyway. So, and the one that's like real good at it. So we came up with something, he said, Robert, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, oh man, wow, that's my stuff, it's jacked up. Right? Here's the thing that changed too. The situation, whatever situation that we were both dealing with, I had to deal with it too, and he saw what happened to me. But here's one thing that he saw. He saw how I handled what happened to me. I didn't know. I didn't cuss. I didn't demean. I just used authority and spoke. I said, no, we're not going to do this. This is how it's going to be. And if this is this, then we need to find another way. Use authority. I wasn't afraid to use authority for the situation that came to me. And he came to me and said, man, I would have bleep. I said, no, I can't do that because I already know what I'm working with and who I'm representing. That was the authority that I had. And the next time he came up strong, he adjusted to that same thing and started using the same thing. I'm saying this that you have the ability to change your atmosphere and change people by your lifestyle, and that's really your faith as well too. Because if I am believing that God says that if I do these things and live my life in a certain way and I'm not close, if I feel that I have this way, I have to say that back because when the things come and gets put into another position, it has to stand. People have to see you weather the storm no matter what happens and still believe the very thing you said you believe. And God gives you the strongest foundation to do that. And allows you to speak to whatever happens in your life. And right now, if there be anybody that has any storm that they are afraid to speak on, let's get that thing right. You have the power. You have the ability. There's so much more that's in store for you. There's so much on the other side that God has for you. There's people that are waiting for the faith that she was going to have. We have a radical faith in this ministry. We have a faith that we just believe it. That little lady back there. We have $1 million in our bank account. We do. I just haven't seen it yet, but it's there. But see, the thing about it is, faith is a substance of things hoped for. And because we ain't seen it, that means it's dead. Right. Come on, give you kind of praise.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God for all of you. I hope you got some kind of particular lesson in the past of scripture. But it's time for us to use our faith and to speak to our storms. Man, we there is so much more we got to be doing. I want us to live a lifestyle, live a life whereas we don't be so sorrowful about things. I'm tired of crying over stuff, being depressed by. I'm tired of that. I don't know what. You're either going to act right or you're going to get out. And I'm talking to the mind. Talking to your mind. Either you're going to believe or go. You're going to do what you're supposed to do. That's it. Because I don't have time. I'm 20-something, 70, 30 minus square root of 40-something years old. Y'all figure it out. And every time my birthday comes around, I'm grateful, but I also know my time is short. Especially when I see my children grow up and they're getting taller and taller. Like, God, we going to live this life. We going to have fun now. Enjoy it. Enjoy. Things may not be the way that you want it. They will be. Keep on believing. Keep on pushing. My faith, girl. Amen. That was like this. I'm like, you're going to struggle. Amen. You're going to fight. That's how you fight your battle. Amen. You're going to fight that thing. Gracious Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for this time. Your presence of anyone, God. That's out there on Facebook Live, out there on our podcast, out there wherever they be at. Serious message. I pray, Father, that the storms in their life, that they begin to rise up and decree and declare over their storm to be removed. That they walk in joy, they walk in blessing, they walk in all the fullness that God has for them. And Father, if they have not accepted you as their personal Savior, I pray that they follow along with me and they begin to say, Father, I'm a sinner. I make you my Lord and my Savior. Come into my life. Heal and deliver me. Forgive me of my sins. I know that you are the Son of the living God that take away the sins of this world. And now I believe and I know that God, that by your power and by the authority of Jesus Christ, I command every demonic force and demonic attack on my family to be removed. Now that generational curse is broken. I plead the blood of Jesus over my life, over my family life, for generations to generation, and we shall no longer be bound. We shall no longer be enslaved. We are free by the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you have said that prayer, all of heaven has rejoiced because it's the sound of those being saved. And it's all about us being saved that we may be able to see our Father, to see him and when he comes. Amen. Amen. But God, I thank you for your people. I thank you for this word. I pray that God it will be a blessing to someone. It will be a blessing to allow them to open up the windows of heaven in their spiritual faith, that the blessings can be poured out among them. Father, I speak blessings in their life right now. I speak that as they begin to step in faith, that you will move quick, fast, and in a hurry. That you will move, God, on their behalf. I speak it. I stand in covenant agreement with you now. In Jesus' name. Come on and give God praise. And if you find that this ministry has been a blessing to you, we ask you to sow a seed with us so we can continue to do what God has commissioned us to do. You can go to our website, which is rtmri.org, or you can catch us on PayPal, as well as Giverfly, and all that is on the website. But for those of you that got a seed in your hand, let's go ahead and get ready to sow a seed. If you have one, just lift up your hands while we ask this child to speak our little our faith pledge. And if you want to have a copy of our faith pledge, you can go to our website. It is on our website. Okay. Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Hold that money up, hold that card up, hold that check up. Hold that whatever ETV card up, hold it up. You take food stamps, we got this coming up. Amen. Go ahead.
Number. This is my seed.
This is my seed.
I sow by faith. And bring forth fruit. And the ground shall give me increase. I am a cheerful giver. I am a lender, not a borrower. I am first, not last. I am rich and not poor. The curse of lack has been broken. And the windows of heaven are pouring out blessings. That I will not have room to receive. It shall be done. In Jesus' name.
Amen. I feel like Peter Paul, get your miracle water right now. Get your miracle water right now. You're blessed with a $10,000 check. Lord, you told me to take that miracle water and bump my head with all the $15,000 payment maker. Ah, you don't need a miracle water. I just believe in faith. That's it. Simple. Amen. That's all I gotta say.
That's
the
truth.
Thank you. Amen. Praise God. I thank all of you that have been here, but I am so glad to know we have a few events coming up here at our ministry. Please feel free to again go to our website. We have a women's empowerment conference coming soon. We also have a community event that we're doing as well. And God is really blessed. God is really trying to put things together. And this is going to be something that I believe is really going to be awesome. I'm going to get information on this today. And I had was talking to business partner of mine in insurance and trying to put together some things in the future to help with kingdom resources. Amen. Fixing credit, all that stuff, all that stuff. This is the time to do it now. Amen. 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 But praise God, if you have joined our podcast, God bless you. I do know that you have been healed, you have been delivered, but praise God, you have been restored. This is Pastor Robert J. Douglas and the RTR in my family. We are signing out. God bless you. Have a good day. All right. Oh, real quick, for those of you, I think I mentioned it Saturday before last, Sunday before last, Bridget. She's doing okay. She's starting to restore and build. There's still things that probably need it. She don't really ask nothing. So just continue to keep her in your prayers. And if there's anything you guys can contribute, I put it on the goofy thing I think. The different sizes for the children. That's basically what it is, trying to get kids focused and stuff like that. Don't really need much of anything else. But anything that we can do to help, I'm asking if you can do that. If you want to sow a seed, you have her, I put her Cash App on there as well. And it goes right there. She'll be appreciative and thankful for that. And her spirits are still up. She do want me to let you guys know that she thank you guys for your prayers. And for, we did sow something to her. We sow something to her. And I want to get some more things to her. Amen. So she was really so great for creating one that's thank you. And thank you for your prayers and things like that. Amen. So, amen. Anything else? Good to see all of you. What's up, Lemon? Jen? Which one said?
I want to say the instrument's going to be here for a long time.
Is it who?
Instrument's going to be here for a long time.
It'll be here as long as the business is.
But it's like no band.
I know.
Pray for a band.
Yes, sir. They coming. Since you spoke, it's coming. You might be the one. All right. I want you to pray for it.
I want to play that guitar.
Oh, want you to pray. I want you to, when you go home, say, Lord, give me teeth out of bed this time. I want you to pray. I want you to, and I'm going to ask your mom if you, I want you to go into, I want you to go into the corner of the house and pray. I want you to get down on your knees and pray. All right, I'm going to check. I'll ask your mom if you do it. Same thing.
Right.
You know, that's what I was like. Hey, man, you good? Let's right, go take some of this stuff with you if you want to.
What camera?
Sure, so it's bad, yeah. Let's go in the mess you made.
Why a mess? Why a mess you made?
Exactly. Let's talk about that. Come here. The trash.
All right, so Sunday, be
blessed.
Hey, yeah, what's up?
Get your mask.
I mean, like, she's pretty cheap. I've got a little bit of contact. So, your budget session.